Up next on Adam's Cave.
Then of course there's a political responsibility.
The role of a man in national politics.
And that's where we get to see even more the patriotism.
We consider the subject for God and my country.
That we have a vote, that you can vote, and we're going to be voting in a few months.
Mr. Kipruto Kissinger is hosting Pastor Simon Bevy to discuss more on this matter. This is Adam's Cave on Hope FM.
We are so delighted that you are on board. Thank you for tuning in, whether you're on Hope TV or Hope FM or our social media pages. You are in Adam's Cave. We value your company, your comments and contributions, and we always look forward to your engagement. Please continue to hit us on SMS line 20933 or on WhatsApp line 0717-400-500. Or just go to our YouTube pages, Hope TV Kenya, or you can go to our Twitter and let's have a conversation. In Adam's Cave, it's a bare conversation. It's always just candid, it's concise, and it's clear on all matters affecting men and the people that these Adams love very, very dearly. I'm your host, Kissinger Kiprotich, and I'm so blessed to have you. Last week, the Evangelical Alliance of Kenya invited our presidential candidates to discuss the Kenya we want. So the bishops and the church leaders traveled far and wide to participate in this conversation. We'll be showing you a clip later in this show. So we ask, what's the role of a man in national political discourse? By considering the topic for God and country. For God and country. We are extremely privileged to host the author of this book, Unleash the Man Within. He is a pastor, a father, and a very passionate champion in matters men, Pastor Simon Bevy. Karibu on board.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's nice to have you on board.
To be back, yeah.
Yes, just tell us who you are, just in case somebody's tuning in for the first time.
So, Simon Bevy, I lead Transform Nations. And we do many programs for men, and that's a great passion for me, for fathers, for boys, for men, and other programs on leadership and parents as well. But beyond that, I'm also quite involved in transformational matters. Been very involved in Makueni, working there in the County Public Service Board until recently, when I began to run for a political seat. So I love this country. I'm a patriot. I love God and my family man.
Saying family man, I remember we had the conversation, Father's Blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely powerful.
That's right.
And in case you missed it, just go to our YouTube pages and just catch that clip, Father's Blessing, and you'll be so amazed at the conversation we had. Pastor Mbevi, what have you been up to after we had that conversation?
Well, I've been on the ground,
yes,
as they say, talking to the people. I think I mentioned that time, I felt that Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Yes.
But when the evil people rule, people mourn. And I think we have been praying, and I've prayed for this country for a long time, that God would raise Daniels, Davids, Josephs, Deborahs, all of these leaders. And I began to feel, because of my involvement in the last two or so years, as I interacted more with the people and as I prayed, and this is something I've gotten into before, so it wasn't the first time, I began to feel the call, and also the people called me, as they say.
Yes.
But a lot of my good friends began to say, this could be a good time. Coupled with just the passion God has given me over the years about leadership in governance and the opportunity and the context, I felt it was good to give it a shot during this time. So I've been now talking to the people, pursuing this seat of to be the governor of Makueni County. It has been awesome. I think for me the greatest thing is to sit down with people, listen to them, mothers, orphans, men, and listen to them, their dreams and what they would like to see, and then begin to feel that as a child of God, I would desire to see their dreams come to pass. These are people made in God's image. They deserve a dignity of good leadership that releases them into their potential, and feel like I could be an instrument that God can use. So anyway, I've been up and about doing that. It has its challenges, Requires a lot of money, lots of money.
I can imagine.
To do that. But it's been a good run, and I've really enjoyed it. But now I've come to a point where we're talking with one of the candidates as two independents to partner together, work together, and be able to form government together with various roles. So that's where I'm at right now. But I still can't wait to see. I say Tisoka Makueni or Shine Forth Makueni for it to be a story of transformation in Kenya. So that's where I'm at.
Amen. And all the best. We wish you all the very best.
Thank
you know,
you.
Pastor, when you wrote this book, I don't know which year you wrote this.
Yeah.
And I've gone through it. So the topic on For God and Country, it's interesting that you're actually part of that instrument, being an instrument, you said.
Yeah.
And you're moving forward to actually actualize it. It's really, really amazing. But, we had the bishops come in about actually last week to discuss the Kenya we want. And with all these great men of the clergy, just sitting down to engage presidential candidates.
Yeah.
Just watch this and see what they said.
This is the Kenya I want. Where things work and where people value each other and where people value God. The preamble of our constitution says, we the people of God, acknowledging the supremacy of God Almighty, the creator of heaven and of earth. The day we make that reality so that we are afraid to do things because we know God is looking, we will be okay. We will be fine. We will be perfectly okay. The Kenya I want is where each and every one of us, not the people in this room, but each and every one of us as Kenyans has a conscience. That I will know that doing this affects my neighbor. Doing this affects my neighbor. That I will be conscious that speaking like this affects my friend. That we cannot build this nation on wickedness. That's the Kenya I want. Let me tell you, once we deal with this matter of wickedness and sin and corruption, the rest will fall into place. This is where our problem lies. The commitment to do things right. The commitment to ethics, the commitment to morality, the commitment to uprightness, the commitment to integrity. If we look back into the history of this nation, you will find that in the matters of conscience, we have been on a free fall. What was considered evil yesterday and an abomination only yesterday is now an acceptable and tolerable thing. If stealing 2,000 shillings yesterday was a terrible and forgivable sin, stealing 50 billion, 5 billion and so on now is okay. We read it in the papers as if it is. It's nothing.
The church must take sides. I have always taken sides. I take sides on the side of God, always. And I am unapologetic and I am unashamed. I believe in God and I cannot go somewhere and then I say, oh, you know, I'm neutral. I'm not neutral. I am not neutral. I believe in God. Others believe in other things. I'm not imposing my belief in God on people, but I profess I believe in God.
Thank you. So I don't know what, a very interesting conversation. What did you say about that?
No, I was there part of it.
Yes.
And what I liked is the conversation about the Kenya we want. Mm. And some of the things that came out. I think a lot of us know the Kenya we don't want, because we don't want corruption, we don't want, but it's good to envision what we want. I liked what Bishop Oginde said about people of conscience. People want to do what is right. And I think there are many people who want that. They just need to be emboldened by partnering with others and saying, we will do the right thing. Even when others don't do the right thing, but we will do the right thing. Because it's based on love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If as Kenyans we lived on that scripture, you know, the greatest commandment, love God and fear him and serve him. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to overlap. You're not going to break a certain law for personal gain because you love the other person as yourself. So I loved that conversation. I think many of us as men, we need to keep asking, what's a Kenya that I want? But the other thing I liked even with one of the presidential candidates saying that we've got to take sides.
Yes.
And it's not sides with a party because we'll be co-opted then as a church into a party, but take sides with the values and the truth. If someone stands for certain values, we should be able to say, these are the values we stand for. That person stands for them. And we celebrate that. And let the people make the choice. But it's good to say, these are values we don't want or we don't stand for. These are values we stand for. And so look at these candidates and see the values. What we should, as Christians, should push for values. And especially as men. A lot of people, our wives, our children, our neighbors, they want to know who are they going to vote. You know, I think we should guide them to evaluate the candidates, not based on the party or part of the country they come from, but based on the values that they uphold. Because those values form the basis on which they'll make decisions. And then, of course, after values, competence. Do they have the ability to get the job done? So looking at values, looking at competence. So I loved the discussion. I loved it that we were challenging the candidates to commit to do certain things. And it's always very easy for candidates before elections to commit to that. But if someone doesn't have a long-term commitment to such values, after elections, they go out the window. They get back to their own self. So I think it's very crucial for us as men to realize that people who get to lead us will determine the quality of our families that we are raising in this country for the next 5 years or beyond. Because some of the decisions they make, they have repercussions way beyond the 5 years. So we've got to engage, but I love the conversation. Let it continue. The Kenya we want, and taking sides towards the truth and towards competence.
And values. Amazing. Yeah. Let me ask you, Pastor, when the book is titled Unleash the Man Within, what triggered you to actually put a chapter for God and country?
Yeah.
It's Unleash the Man. I mean, I'm trying to see the connection.
Yeah, I think as men, we own part of the country.
Okay.
Because this is a place where we raise our families. This is a place we play out our God-given role. And so it's impossible for us to commit to God without committing to country. And I like that slogan. You know, many years ago, as soldiers went to war in Christian Europe they used to say, for God and country. We are ready to die for God because we are fighting for his values and the faith that we believe in. But number two, for country, because this is the responsibility God has given us. When Adam was created, now that we're talking about Adam's cave, he was placed, Genesis 2:15, he was placed on a garden and he was told, take care of it, watch over it, make sure this is a good place to raise family. And he was told, you know, these are the boundaries, make sure the enemy doesn't come in. So as Adams, as men, you know, we have a country to protect, a place to make sure that it's conducive for our children. So that responsibility is what we call patriotism, love for country, love for where you belong, and the ability to fight for that country and make sure it goes well. So this is our responsibility. So it's impossible to live out good manhood without understanding your responsibility as a man to make sure your family, your children, your grandchildren, and your neighbors live in a place where they can grow up to do and be what God created them to be and do.
Wow.
It's part of who we are as men.
It's a bang.
Yeah.
Bang.
Men have always protected their country,
yes.
Their tribe, their area of residence. Mm. And I don't know about you, but some of us men still have a weapon next to our bed. we may never use it. We have a corpse and other people who have, you know, the mandate from the Constitution to use force.
Mm.
But then we just want to feel like we control this place. Huh? We fight for our family, our little country here. And really, that's the call of men.
Just talking about that, I remember situations where I would say that a man would sit behind and tell the Eve, can you just check what's happening on the door? Think about protection.
Yeah,
but Pastor,
yeah,
this is a very interesting protected. Scripture
yeah.
that I heard somewhere. And yeah. I think somebody could be also asking the same thing. Is it true that God determined the places and the times that each one of us should be? So that he determined you'll be Albin in Kericho, you'll be in Makueni.
Yeah.
And then given that responsibility, or it's just that accidental?
No, I think it's a God thing. We believe in God, the designer. And it's a God thing. There's a reason why I was born in Makueni, as a Kamba, as a Kenyan, as an African, at a time like this. Because of the passions and giftings and calling God had given me, it was to serve my generation and my people at a time like this. So really, I think it's in Acts chapter 17 that says it's God who chose where we should be. When you look at it like that, then you never use your lineage or your heritage or your tribe or whatever, whoever you are, to hurt other people. That's what ethnicity and racism is about. This is who I am. I was born here. I have more privilege than you. So I begin to use that against you. And that's wrong because it's a gift from God. Nobody applied to be born in Makueni, another one in Kalenjin land, and another one in Luo land. No, we found ourselves there and it's out of God's design. Once you realize that, you begin to say, so God, what now? What now? And that's why as we talk about for God and country, we talk about our differing responsibilities. There is a family responsibility all of us as men have. There is a social responsibility to make sure that in your area, relationships are happening well. The society is doing well. You attack social injustice. If I'm in my village and I see the chief harassing some lady who doesn't have someone to speak for, then as a man, I speak for that woman. Because I'm there to make sure socially we are okay. Then, of course, there's an environmental responsibility. And Kenya is not doing well with the environment. I think you know that. Trashing around, water sources are drying up, trees not being planted and protected. I think as a man, I owe it to my people and my country to make sure that I contribute towards environmental health because that determines whether my children will live in a better Kenya or a worse Kenya. Mm. So that's my role as well. Then, of course, there's a political responsibility, and that's where we get to see even more the patriotism. That we have a vote, that you can vote, and we're going to be voting in a few months. But also you have a social media where you can promote values of leaders and not just pass on hate messages and ethnically motivated and driven messages. This is your country. Don't tear it down. Don't begin to stir up emotions against another candidate. Be the voice of reason in WhatsApp groups and other places and tell guys, no, we can't talk like this. This is our country. My children will grow up here or not sit by and see you talk like this. This doesn't help. That's my political responsibility. And then, of course, some of us may have the burden to run. Some are in public service, still political responsibility. Others are in private sector. But in private sector, we get to see who are the leaders we should choose. What are the values that they stand for? And then encourage others to choose good leaders. And where possible, support good leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, I've realized as I ran for politics, why good leaders don't make it most of the time. Because they need money. They need millions of shillings just to run a decent campaign without distributing money. And business people, many times they give money because they know what they're asking, what's in it for me? When you get in there, will you give me a contract? Will you influence, of course, wrongfully, for me to get a contract so that I get back that money? Now, when someone comes and tells me that, I would say, give me money without expecting nothing, because I can't promise you anything. If you apply for a tender and it passes okay without my interfering, then that's okay. But wicked people will promise others, give me money and we will see what to do. And they actually see what to do, and those guys get money. So I think as private citizens, we need to see how do we support righteous leaders into position. We pray for them. We're excited when we see them, but how do we support them? It's part of our patriotic political responsibility to ensure that good leaders get to their places of leadership. So we have those responsibilities. Political, you know, holding leaders to account. I don't know about you, but a lot of people, me included until only a few years ago, never knew how to get involved in public participation. Absolutely. Did you know in Nairobi here, before they pass the budget, they actually go around and call people to come and listen to the budget and contribute? I don't know how many people know where to go. In the villages, that happens. Very few people go for public participation. And most of the time, guess who goes? The ladies. Yeah, the men are there, and they're the ones who complain the loudest when their money is misused, yet they were not there when it was being discussed. So we've got to love our country enough for God, yes, and we need to grow into that love for God, but it's impossible to love God and not love his country for which he died, his people, his world, and not work towards making sure the people created in God's image in this world live with dignity and good purpose and get, you know, to fulfill their dreams. So we cannot be apolitical. We cannot be, I don't want to get involved in politics. Well, you don't understand God if you say that, because God created us to live in a good place. And if this place is going to be good, politics determines. Best definition of politics I had is who gets what, when, and how. It's mainly about distribution of resources and then policy, order, and all of that. That's what governance is about. So, guys, we cannot be Adams in this country without saying, I love this country for the sake of God and my people, my country. I'll stand up and be counted as a man.
Wow. That's so powerful, Pastor. And for those people on radio today, we are flying the Christian flag on my left, and also flying the Kenyan flag on my right, so that we can actually say, for God and my country.
And
that is absolutely powerful.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Pastor, having you say that, you're actually calling us as men, and Adams coming to stand in this position. But the Adams are the ones who are saying, Navumulia kwa Mkenya. What he was trying to say, tujivunie kwa Mkenya.
Yeah.
Where is the disconnect? Why are we into the two spectrums? Kuvumilia
and kujivunia. You know, when you travel to these countries that are very happy to be American or British or other things, you see what they celebrate is that they're in a country, as they like to say a lot in one of the nations, we're in a country where anybody can be what they want to be. If you need a job, you can get a job. If you need to run a business, if you do it well, you can succeed. In other words, governance is meant to make it easy for people to pursue their dreams and achieve them. If you live in such kind of a country, of course you will be proud of your country. So I understand when some people say Navumilia, you know, it's hard.
It's hard.
Because they say, I want my son to get a job, they can't get a job. I want to have a decent business. The economy is not working well, so it's not growing. And they just feel like, I that's why people run to other countries. But you know what I say? You can also start to be proud of being a Kenyan and then ask yourself, what can I do to make Kenya what it's meant to be? I read once a book written by a certain journalist. It's called The Greatest Generation, and it highlights people in the U.S. Where at a certain point after the World War, they began, each one of them, to give their contribution to make America what it is today. And each one of them was saying, I'm proud to be here. The country is devastated, but I'll give my contribution. Some went to construction, some went to art, some went to media, different places. And they, within a generation, they made America the envy of the world. Such that my sister lives there and doesn't want to come back here. But then this is what I tell the men, Kissinger. You know, I tell them, other men made their country the pride of the generations to come. That's what about us men? Don't we have the responsibility as men to make Kenya the place to be for our grandchildren? That they will truly be proud. Right now, we are proud by faith that we'll fix things and that the economy will get better, that jobs will be created. But in reality, it's hard being here. But we are saying we can make it better, each one of us. What is your contribution as a builder? What's your contribution as an engineer? What can you come up with that would make Kenya a better place? I challenged one of the young men in Makueni and said, you became an engineer to solve the problems of Makueni. So don't use your engineering just to get a job. Use your engineering to solve the problems our fathers have faced for a long time. And he's now coming up with a project, very creative. And if each one of us thought like that, as a business person, as a lawyer, as a driver, as a husband, as a father, as an educator, how can I make Kenya the place where my grandchildren will never think of going to study abroad? They'll so love to be here because we have some of the best institutions here. They'll never think of going to get a job abroad because there'll be enough options here. Who will make it happen? Us. This generation of men, of Adams, who will love their country enough to rise up, roll their sleeves, and get to work so that our children and grandchildren will enjoy the fruit of our labor.
You mentioned our responsibility.
Yeah.
We talked about political responsibility. What was the other thing in case somebody's writing down?
Political responsibility, social responsibility, environmental responsibility, and now we talked about the spiritual responsibility.
Spiritual responsibility.
Social for me includes economic. It's socio-economic because social justice is when you say it doesn't make sense 60 years on in Kenya to still have such poverty like I've seen. As I've been going around and meeting some people and looking at where they live and the houses they can afford and what they eat, and they still do firewood, you know, to light fire, and there's an old person and smoke is all over them. I just said, this should not be. This should not be. My mother should have enough dignity to cook without having to, swallow a lot of smoke 60 years after independence.
Yes.
So that's a socioeconomic, helping other people. And just challenging all of us to realize we can all fight poverty. It's not just the government and the governor and MCA who should fight poverty. Their money is even limited. The budget that a governor runs with, it's going to take 20 years to deal with poverty in that area. But what about us men, you, wherever you came from, beginning to say, I'll take 2 children and educate them because God has blessed me. Those children, you give them a chance in the future to deal with poverty in their home. So it doesn't become generational. Or you're going to pick one person and start a business for them. That's part of our role and responsibility. Social, economic, environmental, spiritual, and political.
I like the last part, political. But I can almost hear certain Adams asking. They grew up in a generation where they were told, leave politics for politicians.
Yeah.
Politics is dirty. And you hear your pastor calling all the Adams to rise up.
Yeah.
How did they reconcile that?
You know, they say politics is a game of power
for
governance. Mm-hmm. And a game is only, you played football. I played football. And when certain people are in that game, you knew here someone is going to get hurt. Huh? There are guys who don't even look for the ball.
If you miss the ball,
they just
don't
want
miss
to
the
clear the leg. Huh? And they were known to be dirty players.
Yes.
And so many times you would get them out of a game for the game to play well. Otherwise, they're going to kill someone. I think it's the same thing with politics. It gets dirty because they are dirty players. If a player is dirty, then they turn the game to be dirty. Because if you kick me, you know, we were not Christians those days. I'll kick back. And someone else will kick another one because you kicked our fellow. Then the game is going to be bad because of that kind of fight. So what if, instead of saying leave this politics alone, because we say leave it alone, and then when sugar prices go up and fuel prices go up and it's a creation of good or bad politics, then we begin to complain. In other words, we are saying this country is so good, we want to give it to thieves to run it. We want to give it to people we don't like to run it, but we complain when it doesn't run well. So I think that was a misunderstanding. I mean, even before we used to say business is dirty, let's leave it to the... but now Christians are in business, and now I can deal with some businesses and know these ones will follow the values. I wish my governor... in the next elections will be exactly that. I wish my president would be exactly that. I wish my MCA would be that. I wish my chief would be exactly that, so that if I'm doing a land transaction, I know I don't need to bribe him or for him to refuse to come because I didn't give him money to be part of a deal. It's about good people getting into the game, so they make the game what it was meant to be. What George Bush Sr. said many years ago. So the only justifiable use of power is when we use it to be a blessing to others. If we had men and women who got into politics to use power to bless others and lift up others and make Kenya what it's meant to be, the dream of our forefathers, that poverty, disease, and ignorance, and of course corruption with it, would be things of the past in this country. If we had men like that, then I'd be so happy as I, in my 90s, as I go to the next world, I will say my children will grow in a good place. But it's not about them as it is about us and what we get to do for God and for country.
Ah, Pastor Simon, I think I should move my vote to Makueni. I just need to give it here. Yeah. But let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. There's something you mentioned in your book, The Journey of a Man.
Yeah.
How does that relate to God and country?
I think we get to say, and I'm glad you asked, because we talk about as a man you grow from a boy.
Yes.
You grow from a baby, really, and you're dependent on other people to do everything for you. And then you grow into a boy. And, you know, you can do a few things for yourself, but you're also very chaotic. You know, glass like this, you kick it, you're chaotic. There isn't good order and curious. But then you grow into a man and you bring order to your life. You become responsible. You're responsible for yourself and for the gifts God has given you, for the money that you have, and for who you are. And then you grow and become a husband. You pick another person into your life to be responsible for and towards. And that's your wife. That's why she even gets your name, because you're responsible for her. And you build family out of that. And as you build family, you become a father, and you're now responsible for others. Look at it. The maturer you become, the more it becomes not about you. As a child, it's all about you and being helped.
Yes.
As a boy, you begin to help here and there, but you're chaotic. As a man, you're responsible for yourself. It's not people helping you. As a husband, now you're responsible for another. The world doesn't revolve around you. There's another person that you need to take care of and love. And as a father, you begin now to, these children, they depend on you. Either to go to school or to eat. I mean, you really, their destiny. That's why I wrote Daddy's Destiny, the difference a father makes. And then you go to the next level, which is eldership. And eldership is about taking on yourself willingly responsibility for the community.
For the community.
To make sure that you help other children that you never sired to go to school. You help other mothers who are suffering to deal with a court case. In other words, you're responsible for the problems of a community, and to the degree and gifting and mission God has given you, you get to raise up others. So the more a man grows, the more he looks outward to be able to help others. And that's part of for God and country. As long as you still are about how much money can I get, what car can I drive, and it's all about you, you're still a boy. You haven't grown to a place of maturity to realize the greatness of a man depends on how far and wide he reaches to raise up other people and to accommodate them as part of his responsibility. So, the journey of a man. And I look forward, Kissinger, to a time that we can begin to celebrate elders. An elder, being an elder, is not a function of age or gray hair. Mm-hmm. And, they have multiplied since I went into politics. But that's not what makes you an elder. It's really the responsibility. Mm-hmm. I've seen elders who are not even married yet, but they're helping another boy in the village do well in their education. And then they're working here and there to help another kid, to help their parents, to make sure the environment is good. They're planting trees. That's an elder. Mm. That's someone who is young, but with an elderly heart that takes care of the problems. Look at this. As we finish that, look at Kofi Annan and all of these eminent personalities who came after we had bungled up elections and we were killing each other. And these elders came. They were from other countries, other nations, and they took responsibility over making sure that they solve the Kenyan problem then. And they got us shaking hands and working together. And then they left. What happened? In the Matatus, we had Kofi Annan. We heard, some of the other elders. Yes. Do you know why their pictures were there? Because they earned their right to be an elder in Kenya by taking responsibility to solve problems they never created.
Wow.
I pray that every man will grow to be an elder.
In fact, I think in your last show, you actually mentioned that the highest title of a man is to be an elder.
Yeah.
Is that because of that responsibility?
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right.
Do we have any, just in case there's Adam who is still figuring out whether this conversation is biblical, do we have anyone in the Bible who rose up as a political person and influenced politics?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of the people we look at in the Bible were actually political leaders and civil servants at different levels. And we see different versions of it in the Bible. For example, we see Esther being in the palace by influencing from behind as a spouse of a king. Then we see Deborah rising up, and she's a woman, and she mobilizes the army. That's a political leader, and goes to war and establishes peace for her people. That's a political leader. We see Joseph. Again, Joseph, a type of Christ. He was like a prime minister, an administrative leader in government. That's political. What about Daniel? He was a civil servant at a very high level of leadership, a great administrator, you could say governor. Nehemiah was a governor. He left his role, came and became a governor of the city for a while, and then he went back. We could mention, David was a political leader. Samuel was a judge, but those days judges and had also a spiritual role, but he was a judge. And we see the three arms of government, executive, the judiciary, and parliament. And so you can see a lot of these leaders that we celebrate in the Old Testament were actually political leaders. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, pray for everyone, but especially those in authority, the leaders, so that you may do what? So that you may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness. What was Paul saying? If the leaders in government lead well, there's going to be quiet, not chaos, so peaceful lives. There's going to be order, And then there's going to be, people will be able to practice godliness. Right now, it's very hard to practice godliness in some offices because of the leaders who are there. They have created a culture of corruption. So you go there, you don't want to bribe, but you get frustrated for months. Some people end up bribing those of weak faith because you just think, what if it was easy to get a passport like it was a few years ago, that you never need to think about bribe? That is to live a godly life. And good leaders politically do exactly that. And again, I quoted Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. You could see Judges chapter 9 and a parable there. Joram is giving a parable and says the trees want to look for a leader. And they came to three of the best trees to lead. The olive tree, the fig tree, and there was one other tree. They said, come and lead us. And they said, we can't sway over the trees. We have better things to do.
Yes.
We'll not do that. That's what righteous people say. We have better things to do. That's so dirty. I don't want to come and do this thing of asking for votes. What happened after that? The thorn bush. The thorn tree, the bramble, came and said, I will lead you. He was asked and he said yes. So when we don't go into those places and we allow thorn tree kind of, thorn bush kind of leaders to lead, and what do? Because they have thorns. They're going to prick at us with corruption, with other things, and we'll begin to cry out to God. When the children of Israel cried out to God, he raised Moses, who was a political leader. Went, mobilized the country, and got them out of the power of Pharaoh. That's a political act. He was a political leader, but he was a prophet as well, and he led. So I think I'm just saying in the Bible, there's just many encouragements for us to, in the places where God has called us, for us to serve God in politics, in business, in the church, wherever we are.
Amen. And you have one sitting here at Adam's Cave influencing Makueni.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much, sir. What's your parting shot? I enjoy this conversation. People are enjoying and they want to tune in. Please continue the conversation on our SMS line 20933 or on WhatsApp line 0717-400555 or just go to our YouTube pages or our Twitter. Let's have the conversation. But for now, Pastor Mbevi, give us a parting shot.
I think I'll leave you with a question.
Yes.
How will Kenya be better 5 years from today because of you? What's going to be your role for God and country? Would you rise up and make sure that your name is among the names that will be mentioned many years from today as those who contributed to making Kenya a great place? You have a role. Let's rise up and fight the demons of this country as men, because we are kings, we're warriors, we're mentors, and we are friends. Those are the roles we play. Let's rise up and fight against the evils of this country so that our children will be sure that we give them a better nation than we received from our fathers. Let's be the men of honor, duty, and care, honorable enough to live a good life. To have character, but responsible enough to go on duty, to realize our duty politically, our duty socially and economically and otherwise. As we mentioned, we get to do it. We also to realize we need to care for every Kenyan around us and make sure they feel the love of God because Simon was next to them.
Amen.
Let's be the man.
Pastor Simon Bevi, please pray for us.
Sure. Almighty God, we're grateful that we could have this conversation and talk about rising up as men for God and for country. You've given us this wonderful country and we love it. We pray that you will help and challenge each one of us to rise up, to do our role in raising Kenya to be what it's meant to be. That will not just vomilia, we will jivunia, but work towards the dream country that our children have. So that every man who is listening today will be able to say on their deathbed to his children, I made Kenya a better place for you. Go ahead and make it better for your children because I did my part. I pray, bless us, Lord, the many Kenyans who are are in difficult places right now without food or water or a good place to sleep in, Lord, remember them, but remember them through us. So we will be the instruments who will listen to their cry and will come to their help and make Kenya the place where people can praise God because their dreams are being fulfilled and their needs are being met. Bless us all together and thank you for the conversations we've had. For God and country, may Kenya arise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Mbevi, it's always an absolute honor to have you come to the cave. And for Adam, thank you for tuning in. Eve, thank you for tuning into this edition of Adam's Cave. It's always an honor to have this great man, is now an elder, who lives what he writes. I told you about this book, Unleashing the Man Within. Great, great book to have. So from the Cave, we want just to wish you the very best in your pursuit to impact the community for God and to impact the community for God, I mean for the country as well. Unfortunately, we need to leave the cave, but continue to engage us on SMS line 20933 or WhatsApp line 0717-400-500 or just go to your YouTube pages and log in on Hope TV Kenya or on our Twitter pages. So as we leave, please ponder on what Micah was given as a mandate. What does the Lord require of you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? That's in Micah 6:8. Please think about that and think about the conversation we've had today. So may the Lord grant you a beautiful, fruitful weekend as you explore this insight. I'm Kipati Kissinger, wishing you a great weekend. God bless.
Join us next Friday for another interesting session on Adam's Cave. Listen and live.